You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you in sports, entertainment, and odd news, but that doesn't mean we won't go off the beaten path and venture down uncharted territories here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for tuning in on another crazy episode. We definitely have some big topics to go over. I feel like it's been a relatively busy week since we last did the podcast, but before we get to all the news headlines that did happen, we'd like to do a little personal bit, let you know what we've been up to. So, Mike, how are you doing? Mr. Ghost fan himself. I love the fact you're wearing a ghost shirt. I feel like I've converted you to ghost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you already knew that you had. We went to the concert. You know, I listened to the music. Now I'm wearing the T-shirt.
Right.
You know, nowhere near as big a fan as you.
But you're wearing it on your own volition. I'm not forcing you to.
Right. I'm wearing it of my own volition. Yes. Yes.
So, very excited.
Yeah, I'm glad you're excited. I do like Ghost. Mostly prequel, because that's what I know the best. But, yeah. Now I'm just thinking back to the concert. That was so much fun.
Yeah, when we went to Hershey.
That was a while ago, yeah.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, Ghost is the real deal. They're going to be coming up. They're taking a little bit of a break this year, because...
Any excuse for you to play the music.
Yeah, why not? Tobias Forge is going to write the fifth album. This year, so he needs some time to do so. But you know what? In the meantime, go back and re-listen to all the songs because they're all great. And I look forward eagerly to either the end of this year or 2021 when the fifth album comes out. So
it'll be very exciting to see the direction they take the album in because their sound has definitely changed. I can say that now, having listened to more of their catalog.
Yes, and I think it's great. I think it really shows their breadth of talent that they can, you know, they can have pop hits, but also some heavier songs
and their range too.
Yes.
You know?
So, I mean, in my mind, they're the best bang for your buck. Whether you buy their CDs or you go see them in concert in 2021, I think it's worth it. So. They're coming. I'm telling you.
There you go.
I've been telling everybody.
Random ghost plug from Rich.
Yeah, hey, you wore the T-shirt.
I didn't intend it to start a whole review of Ghost's discography. And
they're still coming after you, Mike.
I know.
And there's nothing you can do, Mike. They're still coming after you, Mike.
Okay. Any excuse for you to play the music.
Yes, I'll take it.
But speaking of ghosts, I've been reliving some ghosts recently. I've been watching Amazon's All or Nothing program of the 2019 Eagles season.
Oh.
Talk about bringing up ghosts. It's
nice.
It's wild to see it from that perspective, like knowing what happened, you know, knowing I'm only like two episodes in. Are you familiar with the program All or Nothing?
Not too much, but I remember hearing the Eagles were going to be a part of it.
So Amazon, this is actually their fifth season. They take their cameras and they follow an NFL franchise throughout an entire season, but they do like a in-depth behind-the-scenes look. And obviously, because it's meant for internet streaming audiences, people who are unfamiliar with football, it gives a little bit of a different perspective into the team and the culture and sort of the themes and the pressures that they are facing that given season. So for the Eagles, obviously, the whole show starts off with the parade after the Super Bowl. And John Hamm narrates it.
Ooh,
your boy John Hamm.
Yeah, Mad Men.
And he's like, you know, how will the Eagles live up to, you know, this expectation? So it frames it within that context. And the whole first episode is basically the parade and the semi-failure of the 2018 season. And then the first two games of 2019, the win against the Redskins and then the Falcons game. And the way that they do it, like this really dramatic documentary style, because they build it up by having this whole thing about DeSean Jackson and how excited everyone for Philadelphia's favorite son to return to the field and how electrifying it was going to be. Like, as Eagles fans, knowing what's going to happen, you're like, oh man, it's that dramatic irony.
Yep.
Building that tension in the pit of your stomach.
It's so much for that.
Yeah. My dad was like, this is upsetting to watch. And I was like, yes, but if you watch it like a drama, it's palatable. But then when I saw the Lions game, I was like, oh my God.
Yes. How did we lose the Lions?
Oh, God, it's so painful, Rich. I dread the episode with the Dolphins game.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah. But it's really, really cool. I just finished the episode where Avante Maddox gets knocked out. And they were able to catch all that audio between the medical staff and him on the field. And like, he's laying there basically paralyzed. And he's like, we only got 1 minute left. I'm good. Look, I can squeeze your hand. Let me back in the game. We're like, no, we're shutting this down. It's just really interesting to catch that, like, you know, like when NFL does the mic'd up stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that.
NFL
but,
films and stuff.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
It's like times 20. Because they go behind the scenes. They go and they look at Dallas Goedert and Avante Maddox in their home, how they have Nerf gun fights in their house, and like really, really, really cool stuff. And I can't wait to see all the drama, because this past season was very drama filled.
Oh, yes, it was.
And I wonder if part of it was the Amazon cameras being there.
They worked it up.
Yeah, I don't know, because it was a much more melodramatic and soap opera season that I've ever remembered the Eagles ever having.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Makes for good TV. Makes for bad football, but great TV.
This is what Mike does when the football season ends.
If there's no football, I'm like, I gotta find football somewhere. So I'm literally just watching Amazon's version of the Eagles season.
There you go.
There you go. All or nothing on Amazon Prime. That's what I've been watching. Rich, what have you been up to?
So actually this is funny. I didn't even realize this was going to be a tie-in, but speaking of Ghost, there's been a new show that I've been addicted to, and it's on YouTube. And
okay. Wait, an actual show or just like a YouTube channel?
I guess it's a YouTube channel.
Okay.
So it's from BuzzFeed.
Okay.
But it's BuzzFeed's, Unsolved. That's what they call it.
Okay.
And it's really addicting. I went down the rabbit hole completely.
Are they unsolved mysteries and stuff?
Yes. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
And it's good. It's like a solid, each video is usually like 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect binge watching stuff.
I mean, there are some episodes that go 25 minutes if it's like a really complicated story.
Right.
But for the most part, yeah, it's like perfect. Like 15, 20 minutes. It's like just enough that you get a bite-sized, decent story,
right.
But it's not like it kills your day because you have to watch, you know, an hour of it.
But did end up watching an hour of it.
Yeah,
right?
I did. I mean, I fell right through the hole. But what's funny is they have like different, I guess like a sub channel, because it's like you have the BuzzFeed the BuzzFeed Unsolved channel,
right?
And then they split it into true crimes, which are, you know, crimes that are cold cases. They can't explain what happened.
Right.
And then they have a supernatural bit.
Ooh.
And that's what I've been just following religiously. It's great. And the two guys are Ryan and Shane on that part of the show.
Okay.
And it's like the perfect foil. Like, I whoever came up with this is brilliant. Because this guy, Ryan, is like the straight man. He tells you what the story is, what's the legends, and everything like that. And they go visit these locations, and he's the one that kind of believes in ghosts. And like, if he hears a noise, he thinks it's probably a ghost.
Right.
And then on the flip side, the foil, Shane, is the complete, just ruthless skeptic. He's like, he's the type of guy, he would need like a doll to actually come at him with a knife.
He needs to shake the ghost's hand,
right,
to believe it,
right. And it's hilarious to go through like these legends and stuff that they go through, and it's really addicting too, because you're just like, wow, I didn't know like there's all these haunted places, because like they've done. I'm late to the party. They've done like four or five seasons of this.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're saying there's like an entire day's worth of YouTube binging. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And I was just blown away that there's this many places that are haunted in the United, most of it's United States. There's a couple episodes that's in London.
Okay.
But for the most part, I'm just like, wow, I didn't realize there's this many haunted establishments.
So one, that sounds awesome. Two, how does it compare to like the History Channel, Discovery Channel, whenever they do like Ghost Hunters, that type of stuff?
See, this is why.
Is it better than that?
I think it is.
Okay.
Because you have this duality of
skeptic and believer.
Right.
There's a balance.
Right. And that's what I love about it. Because whenever, like, maybe there is something that does happen where a door shuts suddenly or what's the thing? They have this
The EKG ghost, thing or the Ghostbusters?
No. It's like a ghost. I forget what they call it. Spirit box, maybe. It's something.
Spirit box.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what it does is it's a speaker that goes through all these radio frequencies really fast.
Okay.
And the idea being that if ghosts are energy, they're going to disrupt the radio frequency when they try to speak to you.
Right.
So they claim that if they talk to a ghost and they have this spirit box on, that's how they communicate with the ghost. And so that's like kind of like their way to try and communicate with the ghost. But it's funny because like Ryan believes it and Shane is just like, it's just radio. Like, like, okay. Like, he just laughs at everything that happens.
Well, think about how many different things could interfere with radio frequencies and radio waves. You know what I mean?
Right. So it's great to get that like back and forth. Like one thing happens and you get two completely different responses to it. You get Ryan who's like freaked out and is like scared, and then you get Shane. He just like laughs, and it's just a great like balance between the two extremes.
And do they typically approach the topics with a more like, or I should say with a less like, I don't know what the essence of like those History Channel and Discovery Channel things like they're so like over the top.
Yes,
do they approach it with
like
a more grounded like,
yes,
like looking at the actual myth and legend behind it rather than like we're gonna catch a ghost like
right,
the Ghostbusters type thing.
Right. You know what? Here's what I'm gonna say. Here's the difference with like Ghost Adventures and all those kinds of shows.
It's a reality show.
Yes, and they're trying to sell you. Their goal is to try and prove that there's a ghost.
Right.
So they kind of need it to have a ghost at some point. So
okay,
those shows, for lack of a better word, are like pro spirit, pro ghost.
Right.
Whereas this show, they just present the facts, they go to the location, and they just see what happens.
Okay.
It's really more of a neutral battleground.
Okay. So
it's a
neutral, more look at the myth, more look at the, let's talk about what's happening here rather than let's try and ham it up for reality TV.
Right.
Okay.
Hey, right. And
that sounds awesome.
And the guy, Ryan, he does a good job of explaining the histories and you know, what the actual story and the myths and the lore are behind these.
I want to watch it right now.
Dude, you're going to start and you're going to be up all night if you do it. I'm telling you.
Okay.
This is one of those like you got to be like
it's
on
like
a weekend or something.
Set aside like one of the weekend days and just like lounge around in pajamas with popcorn.
Yeah.
And just have at it.
Yeah.
Follow that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Although if you do have enough self-discipline, you could start right now because each episode is only like 15, 20 minutes.
That's like the perfect.
Yeah.
The perfect length.
Yeah, so if you do have self-discipline, then go for it. But if you don't, and you do fall into YouTube holes quite often,
I might want to wait for when I have a full free day then.
Yeah.
Because I will sit in front of YouTube for multiple hours.
Right.
I mean, who hasn't?
Right. So that's my YouTube recommendation. They did a couple episodes, one at Eastern State Penitentiary.
Ooh, okay.
Which I was really excited about. And they did another one at Pennhurst.
Nice.
So they even did local stories around here. So
this is a very haunted region. Very deep history of hauntings. I mean, because it's so for our country, it's a very old area.
It's funny. I don't know if this is a thing or maybe I'm just pointing at things that aren't there. But I feel like the quote unquote haunted areas are like the outline of the country. Because it's like we have haunted houses and haunted legends on the East Coast. There's a lot in New Orleans with voodoo and stuff
right.
like that. And then you go out west, and then there's a lot with like things that happened during the expansion out west and right. things in Mexico and stuff like that.
Well, it's where the population centers are.
Yeah.
The more people, the more legends you're going to have.
Yeah.
In the middle of the country, you get UFO stories because they're isolated. See, now we're breaking down these like weird paranormal things by like demographic.
That's interesting. Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't get, nobody's like, oh, UFOs over Philadelphia. Because there's 4 million people there. So it's like, no, there was no UFO because 3.9 million other people didn't see anything. Out in the middle of the country, Jim Bob out in Kansas is like, I totally saw a UFO. Who's going to dispute him? The dog? The cow? Toto? You know, it's... it's really interesting.
If a UFO ever hits Philadelphia, oh my God. we're just going to throw batteries at it. Here.
It's more likely the entire city is in a drunken haze for some reason than an actual UFO hovering over the city. But it's such a fascinating concept.
Yeah.
The whole like unsolved supernatural thing, whether or not it's real, it's just interesting.
Yeah.
I want to watch it.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's one of those. Yeah. I highly recommend it, but yeah, you might fall into a deep YouTube hole and you might not come out for a whole weekend.
And then I'll be unsolved.
But then I don't have a co-host. What am I going to do?
Well, you could start a new podcast about where I went. There you go.
The Mike is Missing
the
podcast.
The Mike is Missing podcast. The MIM, the MIM.
I'm going to start it. Even though, you're still
even
here.
Though I'm still here. Every week, where is Mike? I'm here. No, you're not.
No, he's a figment of my imagination.
It's just you talking to yourself like Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
All right. So we went too long on that. I know. But it was a very interesting topic, and I had to bring it up. So go check it out if you get a moment. That BuzzFeed Unsolved channel is what it's called. All right. Now we need to move. You know what? If there was ever a chance that a UFO was going to fly across Philadelphia, they probably did it during the Eagles Super Bowl celebration when everybody was drunk.
Yeah.
So that leads into a good first topic in the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face here in this first part of the show. Oh my God, I just realized I did something else too. I know I'm going all over the place here.
Yeah.
I did a quick guest spot on Thoughts on Stuff podcast.
Okay, our good friends over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to the guys over at Thoughts on Stuff for having me. And it was good to see Rick and Todd. And,
right.
You know, Kevin was out, so I was essentially filling in the role for Kevin. But yeah, randomly on the podcast, I got off on a topic of like parallel universes.
Of course you did.
And
that makes sense.
I feel like now I'm like pigeonholed in as like the guy at MMR that's like the conspiracy guy because I've been watching all this stuff now. So.
Are you the weird aliens guy of MMR?
Hey, I've met that guy too.
Oh my God, that's right, you did.
Yeah, so I am. There you go. I'm already there. I am.
You got to do your hair up like him and just
yeah.
Go for broke.
I'm the weird.
Go 110%.
Guy.
Do it.
All right. Well, maybe I can do it in 2 minutes or less while Mike handles this quick segment here in the sports sampler that we like to do. 2 minutes or less, a couple topics as fast as we can, the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, the clock is armed and go. Go, Mike.
All right, this week in the 2 minute drill, we have some football news. Longtime San Diego and LA Chargers star quarterback Philip Rivers has announced that he will part ways with the team and test free agency after 16 years with the Chargers franchise. He's quietly been one of the best quarterbacks in the league the past decade and a half, earning 8 Pro Bowl appearances and tallying more than 59,000 passing yards and 397 passing touchdowns. Statistically, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but he's never been able to do much in the playoffs. Perhaps heading into free agency, he hopes to jump to a team with a chance of making a deep playoff run. We've talked about it before, but this latest move is helping shape this offseason into one of the most quarterback-heavy free agency pools in recent memory, with a lot of big names hitting the market. Rich, what do you think about this latest move?
I'm telling you, this is going to be one of the craziest off seasons that we can remember. There's so many big name quarterbacks hitting the market. There's going to be a lot of quarterback carousel action happening. What I'm hearing that I think would be interesting is Philip Rivers to the Colts.
That's what I heard too. Wouldn't that be a good match?
Well, apparently Frank Reich got his start over in San Diego with the Chargers.
Okay, so reunion.
So you have a little reunion there. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett, you know, is he really going to be the guy for the Colts?
Right. Maybe you plug in Rivers for a year or two, see if he can make a deep playoff run. That's what he wants. That's what the Colts want.
Yeah.
It's a match made in heaven.
Yep.
But speaking of coaches, the Eagles announced some coaching changes. We won't get into all of them here, but the basic gist of it is that the team will be moving ahead without a dedicated offensive coordinator, instead opting to split up the position and have a pass and run game coordinator. Those two positions will work with head coach Doug Peterson to game plan, but leave Peterson to call the offense how he likes, similar how the 49ers operate with Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, good luck. That's my analysis.
Yeah, I had to throw that in there because I know you're critical of Kyle Shanahan, but real quick, splitting the offensive coordinator position into two coaching positions and not having a dedicated role for it, what do you think? Is that good, bad? I mean, I like the idea of more ideas, fresh ideas, yeah, different perspectives, but could it also be an issue of too many cooks in the kitchen type deal?
Maybe, because maybe Dougie will know directly what to do with Carson Wentz and everything. But, you know, I would prefer to have somebody that can look from outside.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what Frank Reich was really good at during that year the Eagles won the Super Bowl. He seemed to have the best kind of objective view over what the Eagles should do during those games.
Yeah. And he pushed Peterson and pushed Wentz.
Yeah.
You know, I know they promoted, I think it was Press Taylor, to the pass game coordinator. So, you know, that's an internal person. I know they're bringing in a few other outsiders to hopefully bring some new ideas. But it's just, I don't know.
Also, yeah, anything from Kyle Shanahan doesn't have a good track record, so I don't trust it.
I mean, they're only taking the format from Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
The idea that they don't have a traditional offensive coordinator. I'm just worrying it's consolidating too much power on Peterson.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we'll have to wait and see how things happen there.
Yep.
In the meantime, it's no longer football season, sadly.
That's right.
That means that we do have some other big news to get to.
I gotta admit, I'm surprised. I thought you would have like an XFL attempt somewhere.
I forgot.
Eh.
I just plumb forgot. Next week I will.
Great.
I'm going to try and watch XFL. What do you mean, great? There's a team called the Dragons, Rich. Do you understand what's happening here? There's a team called the Dragons.
Okay. Woo!
Dragons are really cool.
Okay.
I was going to transition to baseball, but now I'm going to talk about Dragons.
I'll tell you what is cool, though, about the XFL. I do like the whole idea behind the choice of the points after touchdown choice.
I have no idea.
You don't know about that?
No.
Oh. So in the XFL, you don't kick a point after.
Okay.
What happens is you have to run a play.
Okay.
But it's like a game show. Depending on how far away you set the ball,
yeah,
increases the points.
Oh, I like that.
It's like a game show element. I love it.
That's pretty cool. So what is it? Is it 1 yard,
so,
2 yards?
So it's two. If you want to go for 1 point, it's a 2 yard play you have to run.
Okay.
If you want 2 points, it's 5 yards.
Okay.
And if you want 3 points, yeah, you can
3 point conversion.
Yeah, you can score 9 points in a single possession in XFL.
Oh, I like this.
3 points is a 10 yard play.
Wow.
But remember, it's one play.
It's one play, yeah.
Right. This isn't a series. This is one play.
I really like that, though. Were there 3 point conversions?
I didn't follow it that intensely.
Damn it, Rich. Come on, man.
I have to imagine somebody tried it.
All right. Next week, we're covering. We're going to try to. I don't know. Do they show them on TV? Where do I watch these games?
Yeah, I think one of the channels has the agreement. I don't know which one off the top of my head. But the point is, they have these cool rules. It's pretty interesting.
Okay. I'm going to have to look into this.
Yeah.
But
speaking of rule changes.
There you go.
Yeah. Speaking of rule changes, there is a bombshell report that is coming out of the offices of Major League Baseball. And this is, first off, this is huge just because it's Major League Baseball.
Baseball doesn't change.
This is not a league that loves change.
Baseball is the Titanic. It takes them forever to turn that thing.
Oh, yeah. And when it does, it crashes into an iceberg and just everything goes to hell.
Like this.
Yes. But no, this is definitely just a head turner that this is even being considered seriously by the front offices of Major League Baseball. So there's this whole postseason change that they want to do for 2022, because right now the current collective bargaining agreement ends at the end of the 2021 season. So if they want to make changes to the postseason, they got to start planning it now. to get ready for 2022.
Okay.
But wow, this leaked plan from the AP is bizarre. So first off, the overall change, they want to increase the teams from 5 teams to 7 teams per league.
So right off the bat,
yeah,
that's 14 teams.
Right, out of 30.
That's half the league. That's the same problem that the NHL and the NBA have.
Right. Well, NBA is worse.
NBA is more than 50%.
No, they're both worse because NBA is 16 out of 30 and NHL is 16 out of 31.
Yeah, that's terrible. So baseball's trending in that direction.
Yeah. I tend to disagree with that, but let's move on because there's other bigger fish to fry in this.
Okay.
So the single wild card game would go away in this, and instead we're going to replace it with an entire wild card round. So more baseball. Woo!
That's exactly what we need in a season that's 162 games long already.
Yep.
Is more.
So here we go. Trying to borrow a little bit from football. The best record in each league automatically gets the number one seed and a bye week. They go straight to the division round.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that's your reward for getting the best record in the league.
Okay.
The other two division winners, they get the number two and the number three seeds. But here's the catch. They get to choose who their opponents are with the leftover wild card teams in a Sunday selection-like show.
Are they legit making it a show? Are they going to make it a spectacle?
Well, this is the proposal.
Oh, God, that's...
Yeah.
That's kind of tacky, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. But, I mean, you could... The proponents say, well, you do that with March Madness. March Madness has this whole show where they reveal the brackets and where everybody's going to be and stuff like that. But I don't know if this fits baseball. This is very bizarre.
I find this incredibly bizarre and mildly offensive, too. It's going to create an unnecessary amount of drama and controversy, which, in a roundabout way, is exactly what they want.
Right. They want you to talk about that.
That's why this is awful, because like they're preying on this news media cycle that I can just see the headlines. I can just see the storylines getting whipped up into a frenzy. Yeah. ESPN is practically jizzing in their pants over this concept. I mean, think of all the headlines, Rich.
Yeah. Yankees, you know? Yankees think Twins are a bunch of crap.
Right, and, exactly. Yankees didn't hesitate twice to take,
Yeah.
And then the interviews with the coaches, what do you think about being chosen by the number two seed? Does that mean that they think you're the worst team? Like, it's just, it's going to, it's going to be awful. It's going to be like reality TV.
Yep.
Which, I mean, in a dry game like baseball, I don't know, maybe that's what they want.
Maybe
that's what they need.
But I don't know. I disagree with this part.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I think it's really weird. You know, prove me wrong. Football has the very best playoff structure of all the major sports.
Before you get pro football, I got to finish this. I'm not even done yet. There's more changes.
Am I going to get more upset?
Maybe. So we have 7 teams. All right. The best record, number one seed, they get the bye week. They go straight to the divisional round. The number two seed, which is the next best division winner, the next best record of the division winners, they're the number two seed. They physically get to pick which wild card team they want to face off against. Then the number three seed, which is the last remaining divisional champion, they get to choose who they want to face. And then the two leftover wild card teams face each other.
That'll be the best game, actually. The two leftover wild cards.
Yeah, the leftover wild cards.
No, really. Seriously, think about it.
Yep.
Because it'll be the two opponents that the two and three seeds don't want to play.
Right. And then finally, the last change. Everything in the wild card round will be a 3-game series. And that the higher seed hosts all 3 games in the series.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
I agree. I would support the fact that the wild card round should be a 3-game series. You're playing 162 games. It shouldn't be a 1-game playoff.
Right. Everything else in baseball is series.
Right.
Like, literally, every time you face an opponent, isn't it a series?
Yes.
And then at the very end, it all comes down to a single game.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's like a betrayal of the whole underlying system of baseball.
At least make it a 3-game series.
Yeah.
So you can say that you had a second chance.
Yeah.
It didn't come down to
one missed pitch or whatever.
Right, right.
I got to say, overall, I hate this plan so much. I hate the fact that they're expanding it to almost half the league.
Well, hold on. This is a proposal.
I hate the proposal.
Okay.
I just like anything that's not football just out of hand automatically because football has the best playoff structure. But looking at this from a semi-unbiased point of view, I don't like the fact that they're bringing in almost half the teams to the playoffs. That waters down the talent in the playoffs. We see that with the NBA all the time. I don't like the fact that the second and third seeds get to pick their opponents. That seems tacky. It seems like reality TV, soap opera-ish, and it seems like it's being created to fuel an endless media cycle.
Yeah.
I do like the idea that the wild card round is being changed to series, but I don't think we need... This is going to be so much baseball. They have the longest season. They're going to have the longest playoffs.
And they want more.
The games are the longest in terms of time spent. Jesus Christ, they go on forever.
All the baseball, Mike!
Like, it's like they're compensating for something. What the hell is going on here?
I would say I agree with the best... It should be a best of three series. I agree with that. For the most part of this, I definitely disagree with. So
as somebody who watches more baseball than I do.
Well, hold on. I want to get this point out. I think the reason why this proposal is so out there and so outlandish is because they know for a fact the baseball purists are going to come out and say everything here sucks and there should be no changes.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think that they're going this far out because they have to find a compromise. So start your initial offer all the way with the most ridiculous things that you could come up with, especially the picking the teams. That's bizarre.
That is outlandish.
No league does that.
Yeah.
So they've made the goalpost so far extreme that wherever they settle for the compromise,
that's what they actually want.
Right.
They're probably going to get six teams per league. They're going to get probably the first seed gets a bye, and they're probably going to get the series things.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to go all the way to seven. I don't think they're going to do the selection thing.
Right. So that's my theory. I think this is all kind of a big ruse so that when they do compromise, they get what they want.
So I don't know the story behind the story. Did you say this leaked to the AP?
Yeah.
It's definitely a ruse then.
All
right. Right? Like, it's almost an intentional leak. Like,
so.
Look at this crazy-ass plan.
That we're seriously considering.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to the people that do think there is a chance of this actually happening... they went to Twitter immediately, and there's a firestorm online. I got to read this one tweet. This is hilarious. This is from Cincinnati Reds pitcher Trevor Bauer. He tweeted directly at Rob Manfred, who's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He directly tweeted him, quote, "I have no idea who made this new playoff format proposal, but Rob, you're probably responsible for releasing it, so I'm directing this to you. Your proposal is absurd for too many reasons that I can type on Twitter, and this proves that you absolutely have no clue about baseball. You're a joke." He's saying this to the commissioner.
Wow.
Like, that's like your...
That's balls right there.
Yeah. That's almost like you're that's like working at a job and you're calling out the owner for something he's doing.
I mean, good for him that he feels that comfortable doing that.
You're a joke.
Yeah, that takes guts. But, I mean, he's kind of right. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I would agree as well. But my theory is that they're starting this far out there to settle on a place that they actually wanted. So
makes sense.
We will keep an eye on further developments, and we'll react if there's another proposal or, God forbid, this is actually what happens. I don't think this is going to be good for the sport. But we shall see what happens. All right, and before we wrap up the sports sampler, I have an interesting little side note that we're going to travel on for a little bit here. And ironically, it comes from the most athletic person out there, John Oliver.
Oh, of course.
When you think athlete, you think peak John
human,
Oliver.
Peak human specimen right there.
Yes. He was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert to promote the new season of Last Week Tonight. And they talked a little bit about sports, and John Oliver shares this really just cute, naive story from when he was a kid. And I think it's just interesting to think about. So I just want to play this quick story that he shared with Colbert on The Late Show. Take it away.
Okay. I loved Liverpool so much that the first game that my dad ever took me to, I was 8 years old. And I made him let me wear my full Liverpool kit and socks, shin pads and cleats under my regular clothes. Because my rationale at that age was if someone got hurt and they ran out of players, they might just turn to the crowd and say, does anyone have the necessary equipment to participate? And I was like, I do! I've come prepared! And I can do it! Yes!
I love the childlike reasoning.
Yeah.
So I just have a funny little topic. I thought that would be a great just side note here. Did you ever have any sort of naive belief or superstition or dream about sports growing up, maybe following the Eagles? Did you ever think about, like, oh, if I'm wearing the jersey and I go to a game, could I actually sub in for Brian Dawkins?
I mean, I always fantasized about, like, maybe I could be like an amazing safety like Brian Dawkins, but I was a chubby, unathletic kid, so I knew that realistically wasn't going to happen. The most naive thing, I mean, you mentioned naive, and it immediately made me think of when I first started watching football. This doesn't have anything to do with the game, but rather the broadcast of it. I was always amazed as a kid how quickly they could paint those yellow lines on the field for the first down marker.
Oh, you thought that was actual?
I was like, how do they do that? It's amazing. Every play, they run out there and paint that yellow line. When I was like 8, 9, I was like totally convinced that that was like a real line that they could see on the field. And I'm like, how do they do that? They're so talented.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That was my naive belief. Rich, how about you? What was your naive belief, dream? Was it Brett Favre throwing you a pass or something?
Maybe. I loved Brett Favre, man. He was the man. So not exactly naive, but it's more superstitious. During the Eagles playoff run in 2017, it happened to be I kept wearing the same Eagles shirt. And it's funny because I didn't intend for this to happen. It happened with like week 15, week 16. I happened to wear the same Eagles shirt. Then I didn't wear it. They lost to the Cowboys week 17. Then the bye week. Then I wore it again at the game versus the game against Atlanta. They pulled that off.
Right.
Then I host. And actually, and this is how you know this is verifiable. I had a little party for the NFC Championship game, and I wore the same shirt for that. That was the one the Eagles blew the Vikings out of the water.
Right.
And then I hosted my regular Super Bowl party, and while I'm watching that game, my friend Kat turns to me and goes, "Where's your shirt?"
I remember that.
Yeah, you
remember
that
happening, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "You wear that shirt all the time, the Eagles shirt, the one that says, eat, drink, Eagles." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't wear it." So I go upstairs, I throw it on, and that's when they lead that game-winning drive in the fourth quarter where Zach Ertz catches the ball and turns and goes to the end zone.
That shirt has power. What the hell happened, Rich?
I don't know, but that year it was magical.
Yeah, it was.
That year, it worked. It I don't know. There's mojo. The mojo man was on my side. I don't know.
Superstition is a very powerful thing in sports. Even to this day, sometimes I will watch games standing up like a lunatic. Because I don't, like, if they're not doing well, I'll stand up, I'll start yelling. And then if they start doing better, in my mind, I'm like, I have to stay standing now. Like, I can't change this setup. I can't go back to sitting. Yeah, it's working. You know, I'm pretty sure near the end of the Super Bowl, I was standing and like teeter-tottering back and forth from foot to foot. Yeah, that's my natural Eagles game stance, is just standing in front of the TV, teeter-tottering back and forth. But yeah, that's a superstition I have about standing and sitting. Like, I feel like I can't get into a game if I'm sitting down.
I think you should remember this one too, but back when the Eagles had like Vic, like that era.
Yeah.
Every time. Do you remember this? Every time.
Oh, you missed every touchdown?
Yeah. Every time I wasn't paying attention, or I went to the bathroom, or I went to go get food.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Eagles, 80-yard touchdown!
Yeah. What? There was a string where we would get together for a couple games the one year.
Yeah.
And it happened every single time.
Yeah.
Where there'd be like pizza in the one room, and you'd like mosey on over to get some pizza, and boom, touchdown.
Yeah. Vic threw a 70-yard touchdown.
And you come back in, it's like drive after drive of three and outs, and then you leave to go to the bathroom, and then another huge touchdown. I'm like, Rich, you're just gonna have to stay in the other room for the rest of the game.
Yeah. You gotta support the team. If it's working, that's what
you
gotta
do. If it's working, you gotta do it.
You know what's funny is I specifically remember the one with Vic, because this was before you got your kitchen remodeled.
Yeah.
So we were all huddled around your small little kitchen table.
Yeah.
And that was the one Vic threw like a massive 65 or 70 yard bomb. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Seriously?
Oh my God. Those are the good days.
Yeah.
The good days when all you had to do was leave the room and the Eagles would do good.
Yeah, right?
Now it doesn't matter where you are, and the Eagles can't do good.
Yeah, unfortunately. But there you go. I thought that would be a little interesting diversion down memory lane, because, I love that story from John Oliver. It was so naive. I loved, like...
Yeah. I feel like every sports fan...
If they need me, I'm in!
That's really adorable, thinking of a kid imagining that, you know?
Yeah, he's got the full outfit.
Yeah.
And the cleats, too. He said he wore the cleats.
That's dedication right there.
Yeah.
That's dedication right there. To go to the game with cleats on.
Yeah. Doesn't really go well on concrete.
No, I imagine not. But
tag me in. Tag me in.
Go. Just going to sprint down the steps and hop over the railing onto the field.
Yeah. I'm going to show up at WrestleMania in my full Hulk Hogan gear.
With your title belt and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Quick. Tag me in. I'm here.
I feel like every sports fan, though, has moments like that when they're a kid. There's naive, superstitious beliefs. And even adult sports fans, as we just proved, have those beliefs.
Yes. So there you go. I thought that was just a funny little bit that I had to mention here on the podcast. And an appropriate way to close out this week's sports sampler. We'll see how everything goes in the world of NFL offseason, the baseball postseason proposals, and then with... everything that you remembered growing up and watching with sports and superstitions and stuff like that. What a sports sampler. It was a long one, so we need to take a little bit of a break. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, I got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still got a lot of shows still to come. We'll be right back.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Need a podcast that prepares you for the end of the world? Apocalypse Now is the one for you. Hi, I'm Joanna Van Fine, actor, comedian, and filmmaker. Apocalypse Now is a podcast that asks if we are living at the beginning of the end. Join me every week as I talk with interesting people and decide if we're all doomed. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Brought to you by WannaRub.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done with the sports and ghost and childhood stories sampler.
We covered a lot of topics.
Yeah, there was a lot of topics in that first part. I know a couple people that listen to the podcast. They jump around on right. the podcast. You might want to listen to the sports part because we had some random side tangents that we went on. So
I mean, people should listen to the whole thing.
Yes,
it's all amazing.
Of course. But I know, sometimes, people don't want to talk about sports, so.
That's right. That's why our show is broken up into these perfect segments.
Yes. I like to say it's basically three different podcasts in one big podcast.
It basically is.
So, you get your fill of sports, entertainment, and odd news. And speaking of our show description, that's a good point to mention that we need to get to the second part of our show, which is the entertainment part in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
When you were working as a carpenter and building these kind of places here in L.A., would you charge more to a celebrity than you would to a regular civilian?
Wouldn't you?
Yes. Sergio spent $6 million on that recording studio. Do you still fix things around the house? Do you still put those skills to use?
If it's not too complicated.
If it's not too complicated, you will do it?
Yeah.
And are people overly impressed by that?
Not my wife.
And there you go. That is classic Harrison Ford, man. Just you never know what you're going to get with an interview with him, but
he's just... Every interview he gives, he just doesn't want to be there.
Yes. But I did love that answer. I do work around the house, but my wife's not impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that always the case, though?
Yep. I don't know if people know that, but Harrison Ford was an actual, skilled carpenter before before he got his big break with American Graffiti and Star Wars.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was an actual trained carpenter. That's how George Lucas found him. He was working on the set, and he thought he'd be good for American Graffiti.
Wow.
Yep. True story. And then for Han Solo... George Lucas just asked him to just read the lines in the tryouts.
And he liked him reading the lines so much to just...
Yeah, he was like, you know what? You should be Han Solo.
There you go.
And right there, that's one of the most iconic roles ever. And it was just,
it was
kind of
sheer dumb luck.
Yeah. Just like, you know what? Yeah, let's go with him.
A lot of things in entertainment and pop culture are sheer dumb luck.
Yeah. And that's definitely the case with that, but... Man, it's a good thing they did, because Harrison Ford has had a stellar career. I was just talking with Nick McElwain of Preston Steve. He was going back to how much he loves The Fugitive, another just great movie. It's amazing when you go through everything that Harrison Ford has done. It's, this, Indianapolis. Yeah, right. Indiana Jones. It's crazy to think everything he's been a part of.
Yeah, why can't I remember the other movie? Blade Runner.
Yeah. Another.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything he's in is decent.
Yeah.
I mean,
he usually does a very good job.
There's a couple of clunkers that he's been in, but he's done more great movies than he's done clunkers.
I mean, when you're in two of the biggest blockbuster franchises of all time, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Star Wars and Indiana Jones. How many? I mean, that's like.
Air Force One, another one. Just great movie.
Yeah.
Solid movie. So I love Harrison Ford. I'm glad he's still around doing interviews. Apparently, he has a movie coming out in March, Call of the Wild. That's what he's promoting. We'll get to see if he has another great role in him in that movie.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes on it.
Yep. Speaking of forecasting movies in the future, this is a good part to let Mike take over for a little bit. It's time for him to let you know what's coming up this upcoming weekend with movies, TV, and video games in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
I may not know my flowers, but I know a bitch when I see one.
So great acting like that. Is that what's coming?
That's exactly what's coming to theaters this week when Sonic the Hedgehog hits theaters this week for real.
Oh, boy.
For real this time. I don't know if people remember, like, a few weeks ago I said Sonic was coming out. I was very, very wrong.
Yeah, you got the weeks mixed up.
Yeah, I was like 2 weeks off. But I got it this time. This live-action adventure comedy is based on the blockbuster Sega video game franchise. The synopsis reads, quote, Sonic tries to navigate the complexities of life on Earth with his newfound human best friend, Tom. Sonic and Tom join forces to try and stop the villainous Dr. Robotnik from capturing Sonic and using his immense powers for world domination. There are currently no reviews, which doesn't usually bode well for films, especially given this movie's infamous delay to completely rework the character models and animations. Still, fans of the video game series and classic video games in general might be interested to check this one out. I know I'll probably see it at some point, but I don't have particularly high hopes for it. I will say the new Sonic model looks much better than the original.
Yeah, I think anything was better than that first one.
Yeah. But you're still not very interested in it, are you?
No, I'm not.
Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik just creeps me out. I can't explain it.
Yeah, that would not have been my first choice to cast Jim Carrey.
Or my second or third or fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what's sad is he probably has to do that to fund, like, another independent movie that he wants to do or something.
Probably. We'll see.
Damn it, Hollywood Studios.
Oh, well. If Hollywood isn't doing it for you, maybe the smaller silver screen is. If you didn't catch the Breaking Bad sequel movie on Netflix, now's your chance to do so on AMC. El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, makes its cable debut this Sunday at 9 p.m. on AMC. Also this Sunday, the Emmy Award-winning show Last Week Tonight with John Oliver returns to HBO Sunday at 11 p.m. John Oliver has only gotten better with each season he's been on, seamlessly blending important social, economic, and political issues with humor and real-life movements, all backed up with hard facts and research. If you want to stay current on the pressing issues of today without depressing yourself too much, John Oliver is the way to go. I am in love with that show. So
yes.
Good.
Yes, great show.
One of the best out there for staying current and just keeping it funny. And finally, in video games, Dreams is a brand new quote-unquote game coming exclusively to PlayStation 4 this Friday. Developed by Media Molecule, this new experience is similar to the critical and commercial smash hit Little Big Planet on PlayStation 3 in that it offers gamers the opportunity to create and share their own games. Now, I've actually demoed the early access builds of the game, and it is absolutely breathtaking what people can accomplish. They're creating gameplay, physics, music, lighting. Anything you can imagine can be created, shared, modified, and remixed. People are building entire worlds in this game. It is really, really incredible. I just hope that it does well commercially and critically so that Media Molecule and Sony can continue to support it. It's been in development for a long time. So if that sounds interesting, go check it out. That's Dreams coming out this Friday exclusively for the PlayStation 4. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, there you go. This week in entertainment. All right, so the big entertainment headline is the fallout from the Oscars. It was on Sunday. I watched most of it. I don't know. Where do you want to start with this? Do you want to start with the big headline? Should we start with personal things? How do you want to do this?
Well, considering I didn't actually watch it, it's one of the few times that I missed it. Why don't you tell me, do you want to start with the smaller awards? We can start with some of the writing awards, maybe.
Yeah. Can I get something off my chest?
Sure. What do you want to get off your chest?
Why was Eminem performing?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I heard that he performed, though.
Yes, he performed. Don't get me wrong. I love Eminem. You know, I was a big fan of his. But he came on stage and he sang Lose Yourself from 8 Mile.
I mean, that's a good song.
It's a good song. But that movie came out in 2003.
But
there's no reason. Like, I was like, is this like an anniversary of the movie?
Well,
is there?
Well, was there a theme? Like, was there a reason why he was performing Lose Yourself?
They were doing an ode to iconic soundtracks.
Okay, well, that's an iconic soundtrack.
Yes, but why now? Like, to me, it just seemed like it came out of left field. I was like, why? Because
they were doing an ode to iconic soundtracks.
But why Eminem? Why would you choose Eminem? There's a lot of, you know...
Because they wanted a live musical act. No, I'm serious. Yeah. Like, I mean...
And that's the one you went with? Like,
I mean,
you could have
dragged out John Williams and like a full orchestra, maybe.
Well, maybe not.
But that's not as.
But I'm
captivating
sure
as a live performance of an actual musical artist.
I'm sure there's other ones that you could have done. I just can't think of any right now. But I'm sure there's probably one that you could have done. Like in my head, I was like, is it the 20-year anniversary of it? Like, I was trying to think of something that like
there's a reason for him to be there.
And there wasn't.
Were there other acts or just him?
No, it was just that on that part of the show, and it's funny too because I think that was one of the reaction shots, not Billie Eilish, it was somebody else. There's a great cut, and this actress, I forget who it is off the top of my head, she's wondering, she had like the same look I did, she's like, her jaws dropped, she's like, why is he here? Like, not jaw dropped in an exciting way, a jaw dropped in a very confused way. And I was like, I'm with you, girl. I have no idea why this is happening right now.
That is truly bizarre. He was the only act to perform.
In this little segment thing.
In that segment thing.
Yeah.
He was the only one that wanted to do it.
I guess. I don't know.
He needed the money?
No, he doesn't, because he actually sells. He still continues to sell a lot of CDs. And he owns
CDs?
His own...
What decade is this, Rich?
Yes.
He's putting out a hip new album?
Yes. Putting up
his latest single on tape?
Wait till it comes out on 8-track. Let me
tell
you.
Oh, man.
There we go.
It's the B-side.
Yeah. So, yeah, that caught me off guard. I was like, why is he here right now? Like, I was thinking if he did it, maybe it was like, oh, it's the 20th anniversary of 8 Mile or something? Or is it like... But no, it was just random. It came out in 2003, so there's no...
That's really bizarre.
Yeah.
Maybe they're like, we have to get the younger crowds involved. How do we do that? Oh, I know. Like a 60-year-old rapper.
Well, he's not 60, but yeah, he's definitely not...
I mean,
kids.
He's definitely getting up there.
He's not 60, but yeah, I wouldn't say he's the young kid's rapper.
I mean, he's got to be in his 50s, though, right?
I don't know. That's a good question. He was probably in his mid-20s when everything came out for Slim Shady and everything.
He's 47 years old.
Yeah, he's not over. Yeah, he's like...
That's 50. Almost 50.
Yeah, he's not 50 yet. He's fine. You're good.
You're good. You're fine.
You're good. You're still good. You got a little wrinkles. You're fine. It's still good.
Got a few wrinkles. You're fine.
Yeah, he's still fine. So, yeah, that was my kind of the random what the F moment for me. I was like, why is he... I did not understand that time for him to make an appearance. So that was my head-scratching moment. All right, so, yeah, let's get to the awards now. Big one was Brad Pitt winning Best Supporting Actor, and that was the first award that got awarded out. That's Brad Pitt's first acting Oscar.
Really?
Yeah, acting.
Yeah, because he won.
He did.
What did he win for?
There was a one that he was a producer on or something.
Oh, I'm thinking of Ben Affleck won for what was it, directing or something? Argo, right?
No, he didn't win. He didn't win that one. I don't think
he didn't.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm just making stuff up.
I think
now.
You are.
Okay. Well, good for Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Now, I actually saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He did a very good job. I wish I had seen some of these other movies because Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers sounds amazing. Al Pacino, Joe Pesci in The Irishman.
See any of this? Yeah.
No, I just saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
This is my category between Irishman and The Two Popes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely watched.
You didn't see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yet?
No, that's the one I didn't see yet.
Oh, man. You know, my thing is, like, I liked it, but it wasn't, I've said it numerous times, I don't think it was that great. But anyway.
Okay. Well, I think the Academy agrees with you, because I don't think it won for anything else.
No, it didn't really take home that many awards. It won two awards. But it was nominated for 10.
Yeah. Unfortunately, The Irishman is in the same boat as well. It was nominated for a lot, but didn't win any.
Completely shut out. Nominated for 10 and won 0? Am I? Or...
Yeah, probably. I don't remember it winning anything, which I'm really disappointed at. That's something I'm going to. You know what? This is something that.
Did you expect it to, though?
Well, no, but it does piss me off, though, because. You know, I'm going to get into it. It's pissing me off. It's Alabama left and Alabama right. Come on, you f***ing let me get your right step right. Get off stage, goddamn goof, you know. Piss me off, f***ing jerk. Get on my nerves. Yeah, all right, so I'll say this. Maybe I probably wasn't expecting it to win any of the major Oscars, but they should have had a moment between De Niro and Pacino where they were either on stage or sometimes to honor them, because this is, you know, I'm going to say, you know, the numbers aren't in their favor.
It's a swan song movie.
Yeah. Like this is,
let's call it what it is. This is like old gangster actor.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, I'm going to die next year.
This is the end of an era.
Yeah.
You know, between Scorsese, Pacino, De Niro, Pesci.
I hate to break it, Rich.
And they didn't honor him at all.
Look,
nothing.
I hate to break it to you, Rich. This is like the Western genre in Hollywood. It's done, man. Gangster films are done, buddy.
I hate everybody. I hate everybody.
I'm sorry. Look,
I hate Hollywood.
I like them too. I like them too. But as a genre, it's overstayed its welcome. You know what I mean? Like. Them trying to bring it back with The Irishman, I get it. Like, I haven't seen it, but that's why I haven't seen it yet. I'm like, all right, this is like 20 years too late. Like, Hollywood's moved on.
No, I wouldn't say it's 20 years too late. It's just, this is the end of an era for these guys.
And that's the point that I'm making, is that I think the era already ended.
Well, you suck.
Well, the fact that that's your only comeback... sort of makes it seem like I'm not totally wrong.
Well, I mean, I will agree. Yeah, there's probably not going to be gangster movies.
When's the last time you saw a good gangster movie?
You know what I really liked?
It was the early 90s.
No, I liked The Drop. Did you watch that?
I didn't see that one, no.
That was, what's his name? The guy who played Bane. Why am I forgetting his name?
Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy, yeah. I was about to say Ed Hardy. I'm like, no, it's not Ed Hardy. He does shirts now. Tom Hardy, I think it was James Gandolfini. I think that was one of his last roles before he had the heart attack. It was a pretty solid... I really enjoyed it. It was... basically, they run a bar that the mafia uses as a drop location for payoffs and stuff like that. And one night, it goes missing.
Okay.
It was a really good movie. I really enjoyed it. So that would probably be the last time I thoroughly enjoyed a quote, you know, gangster mafia movie, something like that.
When was that? Do you know off the top of your
2011?
Head?
2011? Because it had to be before James Gandolfini died.
2014.
There
the
you
drop.
Go. Oh, I gave it too long. So yeah, 2014. So yeah, I mean, I do see your point, but I'm very dismayed at it.
And I mean, it's your favorite genre.
Yeah, and you know? But. When you're talking Pacino and De Niro, you're talking about, you know, the Godfather. You're talking about really, like, cream of the crop.
I mean, two of the best.
Top movies of all time.
Yeah.
And I'm very disappointed that the Academy didn't do anything to honor them, that they were both, you know, doing one more movie together. I'm not talking about awards. All
right. Right, right. You're talking about something separate from awards, just acknowledging the fact that they shared the screen one last time.
Right. I felt like they're... You know what? Screw Eminem. There should have been like a vignette for that. I think that would have been more appropriate.
But they're not
dead yet. Not dead? No, they have to be dead.
Because this might not be the last time. We don't know.
But,
the numbers game isn't in their favor. I'm just saying, I feel like you reserve that stuff after a person dies. If you do it when they're still alive.
No, do it while they're still alive so they feel good.
All right. Do it when they're still alive so they feel good. There you go.
Yeah, don't do it when they die. Don't leave it to an in memoriam segment. That's another thing I'm getting tired at.
In memoriam?
The in memoriam segment.
I like those segments.
Nah, that's stupid. I'm sorry. It's officially stupid.
So now you're bitter about the gangster film. You're just going to take it on everything else. You're like, you know what else I hate?
You
the very concept of movies.
You know why I don't like the in memoriam segment?
What?
Because literally, like, the first article that goes up post-Oscars is always, they missed X, Y, and Z, guys.
Well, because they didn't cut the reel together the day before.
Right. So everyone shut up. This is the best that they're going to do. Yeah. Everyone's got an opinion.
There's going to be a gap in time when they finish making that video.
Yeah.
And
so,
when, yeah, people are going to die in between,
so
I assume.
That's another one of that, like, BS, like, tweet posts that go out and go viral. Oh, I forgot that they didn't do that. Oh, the Academy should be ashamed. Okay, good for you. Like, that pisses me off.
You're very.
I am. I'm very pissed off.
You're very pissed off. Very touchy feel about these Oscars.
Yeah. I didn't realize
you upset that the Irishman didn't win that much. It's just...
I'm an old man.
Yes, you are.
I am, Conflabbit.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's avoid the old men. Let's talk about the best supporting actress. Laura Dern wins for Marriage Story.
All right, I'll switch the dime here. I did watch Marriage Story, and
I've heard very good things.
She was fantastic in it.
Okay, that's what I heard.
She plays perfectly the character that you think you're going to like, but she ends up being a character that you don't like.
Oh, okay.
And she does it perfectly.
Okay. That sounds awesome. I haven't seen it yet. I really do want to see it. I've been recommended it plenty of times, so I'm going to have to finally take a stab at it. I haven't seen hardly any of these movies. This is the problem. Best actress, Renee Zellweger for Judy.
Yeah,
as Judy.
We pretty much predicted that. You know, yeah. Hollywood story. Hollywood was going to reward another Hollywood story.
Right.
Not really a surprise.
Hollywood loves to stroke themselves. It's disgusting.
Yep.
This one's interesting, though. Best actor, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker.
Yes.
That's pretty...
Big win.
Yeah, big win.
Are you ready for your fun fact of the podcast?
Sure.
Are you ready for this?
I guess. You tell me.
The Joker now joins Vito Corleone as the only movie characters in which two different actors played the role and got two separate awards.
Interesting.
Yep.
Wow, that's very... I guess that's for high esteem.
That's for your Quizzo teams out there.
Okay. Joker and Vito Corleone.
Yeah, Vito Corleone was Marlon Brando and De Niro.
Okay.
And now Joker is Heath Ledger and Joaquin Phoenix.
Ooh. Yeah, that's like a whole category in Quizzo right there.
There you go.
So many different questions. Yeah, that's really cool. I started to watch The Joker and then I fell asleep, so I have to rewatch it. I do that too often. Start movies late and then never finish them.
Yeah, don't start movies too late.
Yeah.
Watch BuzzFeed Unsolved.
That's what I'm going to have to do. We're only 15 minutes. I don't got to hunker down for a three-hour movie.
Yeah, watch that instead.
The one movie that I'm the most upset over not getting to see is this one, though. Best Director. And you correctly predicted it.
Yes, I did.
And I correctly called out this movie numerous times this past year. Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
Yep, Parasite.
Best Director.
Parasite had the big night, man. Yeah. They pulled down all the big four, essentially.
Yep. And that's bringing us to the big one, Best Picture. Parasite wins Best Picture, but as you point out, also won Best Director, Best International Feature Film, and also Best Original Screenplay. I mean, I told everybody it was going to be a good one.
And I told you to bet on it for Best Director.
That's right, you did. So, are we prophetic? The answer is a resounding yes.
Maybe. I don't know. I just went on a 10-minute rant about Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
You did.
So I don't know.
I have to say that the two movies that I talked about the most, Parasite 1917, were the two big winners. Parasite winning four, 1917 winning three. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Ford versus Ferrari, and Joker tying at two apiece. Those were the quote-unquote big winners of the night. I really want to see Parasite, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this just cements it for me. I mean, the fact that... So, it is a South Korean film. It's a subtitled film. It won Best International Film and Best Picture. Like, that doesn't happen.
No,
Like, it's unheard of.
First non-English speaking film to win Best Picture.
So, you know it's got to be something special.
Yep. I gotta admit, that's a surprise... For Best Picture, I really thought 1917 was going to win because that movie is...
I thought it had a great shot of winning.
That's a well-shot movie, great action, a classic setting with World War I.
Yeah, I mean, it has all the hallmarks of what the Academy loves, which is why I really love the fact that Parasite won. Because they're like, no, we're not going to do the whole period piece, war drama, you know, traditional thing. They went in a completely different direction. That's awesome.
I am a little sad, though, that 1917 didn't get any recognition.
Well, it did.
Also because...
It did, though.
I mean, some, but... World War One is often, I gotta admit, when you study history now, it's almost like a forgotten war.
It is.
Everybody kind of jumps right to World War Two.
It is.
And it's a shame because World War One was the you know, that's the one that really, you know, started trench warfare, the escalation,
right.
The horrors of mustard gas.
Well, the idea of international alliances like that, I'm going to go the typical history pretentious history student route. I'm going to go, well, you wouldn't have World War II without World War I because of the Treaty of Versailles. Shoot me in the head right now. But I mean,
no, but it's true. It is true
to a certain degree. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true.
So yeah, I completely agree. 1917. I think it did get recognition where it deserved, though. Sound mixing, cinematography, visual effects. I mean, cinematography especially.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was breathtaking.
Yeah.
A single cut. I mean, obviously not literally single cut, but a single cut film. I mean, it was harrowing and tense and stressful in all the right ways.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, just awesome.
Yes.
Do you have any other movies you want to call out?
I don't know. I said my piece about The Irishman because I really think that was one of the best films I saw. That was... You know, I mean, I know I have a little bit of a bias on that, but I still, pound for pound, I enjoyed that movie. You know what? I also like The Two Popes. Go watch The Two Popes.
That's a Netflix
movie,
too.
I highly recommend that as well.
What do you think about, did Netflix get, no, they didn't get Shut Out, but I think they only got, what, like two awards? I don't have the actual tally with me, but it was Laura Dern, right, Marriage Story.
Yeah, Marriage Story.
And... Was American Factory the documentary? Was that a Netflix one?
I think that was, yeah.
Okay.
Also, by the way, shout out to my boy David Lynch. Got an honorary Academy Award.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. That's
for what? Just honorary?
A career, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I'm kind of sad about because that's another one that's kind of like, you know, maybe he'll do, maybe if he's lucky, maybe he'll get to do another one, but I don't know.
What, you think he's getting up there?
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
Well, I have a few things I want to call out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Toy Story 4, Best Animated Feature Film.
I knew I was going to.
I did,
you know what? I was watching the Oscars with Rachel, and yeah, and I told Rachel, I'm like, oh, here comes Mike's soapbox.
Oh, come on. Well, really, though, it was a fantastic movie. I don't think it was as good as 3, but I think it was a very good send-off to the franchise. If it is going to be a send-off, we don't know. I thought 3 was going to be a send-off. I think everybody, if you watch Toy Stories 1 through 3, you owe it to yourself to watch Toy Story 4. The Academy Awards should just cement that for you. The other thing that I wanted to call out is I'm actually kind of happy that Quentin Tarantino didn't win anything for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in terms of screenplay, because he's just getting way too pretentious for my taste. And Once Upon a Time...
Oh, really? Just now?
Just now, yeah.
Just now? You haven't been around the last couple
years? No, you know
what
it was? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood kind of left a sour taste in my mouth because it was one of those like Hollywood stroking its own ego type movies. And I can't stand that whole subgenre of like just patting themselves on the back. You know what I mean? It was very much in that vibe. It was this love letter to the 1960s, 70s cinema. And it's like, oh, we'll never have anything as good ever again. And this was the golden age and it's perfect and rainbows and puppies and kittens. And then it's just, it was just bizarre to me. I don't know. Maybe I need to rewatch it, but looking back on it, it was not nearly as good as any of his other films. And it's disappointing to see this constant downward trend from Tarantino because you know that he's one of my favorite writer-directors.
Yeah, and apparently if he sticks to his mantra of 10 films, then he only has one more left to correct it.
I hope it's Kill Bill 3 because he's been promising that for a while.
Yeah.
I like the Kill Bill movies.
They are good.
They were fun. They weren't so serious. Like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was just bizarre to me. Mm. But anyway.
All right. So anything else? Because I think...
That's it for me. I got to watch more of these Best Picture movies.
Yeah. You got my opinions on Irishman and Two Popes and all that stuff. So there you go. I think that will round out the Oscar talk and the entertainment entree. But that's not the end of the show, because we got one more portion coming up, the non-fortune cookie odd news. By the way, I totally realized this. It's an all-Florida odd news.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, so you know it's going to get crazy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
It's the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Rich Liebig and Mike Costanzo bring you the most interesting tidbits in sports, entertainment, and odd news. Did you hear this from the Noodle Guys?
A Florida mother served as the lookout and getaway driver for her 15-year-old son who decided to rob a convenience store at gunpoint. Investigators allege that Amanda Cher Meadow...
Wait, what, you say Cher, like Cher the singer, or Cher like I'm sharing with
no,
you?
No, C-H-E-R.
Did you get all the money from the register? Don't come back until you get the rest. I really don't think you got it all.
Cops believe that she actively encouraged her son to commit the act. I just love the wording, actively encouraged.
Actively like, encouraged. It's like, you can do like, it, honey. You can do anything you put your yeah. mind to. If you try, you can be the best convenience store robber ever. God, Mom.
Like what you heard? Be sure to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle on your podcast app today.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. And we're moving right along into the third and final portion of the show. Mike is very excited because he knows what time it is.
I'm always excited for this final segment of the show. It's one of my favorites. It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? See? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! What does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for hell, right?
Woo, odd news!
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. There's one thing we know, though, that all the stories are from Florida this week, you said.
Just about, yeah.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yes, they are. They're all Florida.
Wow. We get one of these every once in a while.
Yep. It's a magical place.
It's a truly, I mean, Disney World is there, so it's magical.
They're just pumping out odd news.
It's an odd news factory. They're just pumping away.
They might have got a slow start to the year, so that's why they're catching up.
They're really ramping up now, yeah.
Everyone go berserk!
That's right.
We need to meet our quota!
Oh, my gosh. They did. It's very strict down there, this... But so I don't need to ask where we're going. We already know where we're going.
Yes.
But what do we got first on the docket?
Well, actually, the first question you should ask on this first story is actually, when are we going?
Okay.
Yes.
Time travel?
A little bit. So due to the popularity of the show The Mandalorian, this odd news story went viral again, and I got a lot of tweets sent my way about this story, so I did some research. Yeah, it was about Mandalorian, right? This was going viral. But unfortunately, this story didn't just happen. This story is actually from 2001.
Oh, wow. That's a long time. Well before the podcast started.
That's right. but I did my research, and this actually did happen. So it's a true story that's going viral right now, but it happened about 20 years ago,
actually.
This is
the first ever for the podcast.
So
a 19-year-old story.
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess people are half right in sending this to me.
Okay.
It did happen, but it has nothing to do with Mandalorian.
Okay.
But when I read this first sentence, you're going to see why people thought it probably happened just recently. This story comes from Gulf Coast Wings Incorporated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a newspaper?
I think it's an ownership company that they manage different properties and stuff.
Okay.
So here's the story. A former Hooters waitress who thought that she was getting the prize of a lifetime when she thought she heard a brand new Toyota, turns out that they were saying a brand new Toyota.
Oh, man.
Do you hear the difference?
Yes. I am well aware of the memes.
Yes. So, sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
I love this.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
Yes.
Toyota. Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite memes, though, when the Mandalorian hit. You know, it's like, I forget, it was like Big Yoda, Toyota. Like the old, you know, like the regular Yoda we know, and then the baby Yoda.
Yeah. I like the meme that has the baby Yoda going like, I'm popular. And then actual Yoda's like, you know, do or do not. There is no try, son. And he goes, okay, boomer. And he's like, hey, listen here, you little son of a bitch.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. Listen here, you son of a bitch.
That was the best part. I haven't finished The Mandalorian yet, so I don't know how it ends up. But
yeah,
the first six episodes, Baby Yoda's the best part of that show.
Yeah, you got to finish it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to the story here.
Right. So she thought she was getting a Toyota, a car.
Right.
But instead she got a Toyota.
Right. And it makes sense, too, because 2001 would have been
Phantom or right, Attack of the Clones.
No, it was probably a couple years after Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace came out in 99.
Right, so this would be Attack of the Clones, right?
Well, that 2001? Was
02. Oh, it was 02?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it was right in between.
Right.
Probably ramping up to Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. So apparently this took place at a Hooters.
Okay.
And there was a beer sales contest at the restaurant. In 2001, this woman knocked it out of the park with the beer sales and ended up winning the contest. However, she was blindsided by the fine print, and she was in for a surprise. Instead of a long-awaited car that she wanted, instead, she received a small package with a plush toy Yoda inside.
Oh, man, that's a heartbreaker. You think you're getting a car, and you get a little stuffed animal thing.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Understandably, the woman was furious. And not only did she quit the restaurant on the spot.
Oh, my God.
But here's the reason why it became viral is in 2001, she actually sued them.
Sued who? Hooters?
The restaurant. Yeah. The management.
But okay. Didn't they have anything in writing?
See, that was my first response. Was if you had it in writing, you would clearly see Toyota.
Yeah, Toyota, not Toyota.
Right. They must not have.
So they just announced it, like, verbally?
I guess.
Like, they had nothing in writing. I find that really hard to believe.
So this woman was furious. Even if it was a joke, she said that she was still angry at the ownership group, Barry and Gulf Coast Wings Incorporated.
So, wait, do you think it was a joke?
Well, it may have been, I'm not sure, but the point is she took it as she won a Toyota, so she hired a lawyer and actually sued Barry and Gulf Coast Wings Incorporated It made it to trial.
Did they settle?
They settled out of court.
Of course they
she
did.
She actually got something out of this.
God, why? I hate the world so much. I hate the world so much. So she got a stuffed toy Yoda, and she also got probably a couple $1,000.
She got enough money that she was happy.
Enough money to buy a Toyota.
Probably. She probably can't buy a Toyota now.
I'm so frustrated right now. I can't believe there's nothing in writing.
You betrayed the law!
Yeah.
Yeah.
This seems like a case where I know that this is in place to protect people, but I feel like the law did the wrong thing here.
You betrayed the law!
Yeah, really? You're that upset? That's like somebody... This is like the really adult litigation version of throwing a hissy fit.
Yeah.
You know? But I wanted the car. Shut up. You're not getting the car.
You're working at Hooters. I never heard of a Hooters waitress randomly getting a car for something good that they did.
Is Hooters even still a thing?
Yeah. Oh, Hooters is still a thing.
Oh. I don't know.
That made it sound like I go there every Saturday.
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah. Hooters
is it's a thing.
Trust me, Hooters is still a thing.
You know what's funny is... All right, I think I can get into this story without getting in trouble.
Okay. Is there an off-podcast version of this story?
No, I think I'm fine.
Okay.
One of my nephews, it was his birthday, and we all thought it would be a great, like, just, like, inside joke that we would take him to Hooters, and he's, like, 9 or something.
Okay.
It was, like, one of those stupid things.
Right.
And it was, like, me, a couple older cousins, his dad. Like, it was, like...
Right. It's what, yeah.
You know, it was like guys trying to be like, you know.
It's fun. It's funny.
He's the up and coming, you know, guy. So we're trying to treat him like one of the guys, you know, kind of like one of those things.
There's nothing. Look, first off, Hooters, they're all fully clothed.
Yeah. It's just
nothing
wrong
with
slightly
it.
Revealing.
Yeah.
So we got him, you know, we all went out to this Hooters and, you know, we're getting there. My sister came along because she wanted the wings, so it was fun.
So it was all kosher then?
Yeah. Right, yeah, right. They're there. The parents are there.
The parents are there. It's all kosher.
Right. So we get there, and we're like, we need a, you know, we had a relatively big party, so we're like, we need like a table for 8. And this dude, the only table that was even, you know, apparently was booked. I don't know. I think there was a huge basketball game happening that night or something. And the only table that we could have possibly sit at quickly was at this table where this old dude was just sitting on. It was one old dude. That was it. He was taking up this huge bench table thing.
That's weird.
Yeah. So we figured, all right, let's just go ask. It's one person. Let's go just go ask him. You know, so he'll probably see my sister, you know, family thing. You know, he'll probably... Because we'll probably be understanding.
Right.
So we go up to him. We're like, can we, you know, we hate to bother you, but, you know, we got a large table and, you know, it would really be helpful, you know, if you could move and we could all sit down and, you know, just everything, you know, ready to go.
Right.
And he flips out. He's like, you can't do this. I've been here first. I'm watching this. I've been here since, and he goes, I've been here since 12 o'clock.
Like, 12 o'clock what, noon?
Yeah, and we're like, okay. Oh.
And this was for dinner?
Yeah, like, okay, what all right. Jesus. You know what? You're going to be.
But why would they let him sit at a big table like that by himself?
I guess he likes it there. I don't know. And he kept ordering, so. I guess he had the right to stay there, but...
Can you do that? Can you walk in and be like, I'm one person, I want an 8-person table to myself?
Well, I guess it's like if you sit... I mean, at 12 o'clock, there's probably nobody there.
Right.
So I guess if you do that at 12, and it's like, okay, they probably just they didn't pay any attention to it. But now as the restaurant's starting to fill up, now you're kind of being a dick.
Yeah, that is really a dick move.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
He threw this fit.
Yeah.
And you guys what happened?
Well,
I guess you guys just backed down.
Yeah,
like,
and eventually another table opened up.
Yeah,
but it
was that
just,
guy still there? He stayed there the entire time.
It was just bizarre. Like, and he was like proud of it. He's like, I've been here since 12 o'clock.
Well, good for you, buddy.
Yeah, it's like why?
They've been camping out in Hooters for like 6-7 hours.
Like, why are you proud of that fact, sir?
Yeah, that's like, not something to like. That's not a medal to wear.
Yeah, right. Do you think you're going to get a free T-shirt? Like, I've camped out at this Hooters.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, what do you think he was going to get out of it, you know? The longer he spends there, the more he orders, the bigger the tip.
Right.
The more attention he'll get from the girls.
Right.
Like,
do you think you're going to take one of the girls home with you? I'm sorry. That's not how this
works. That's not how this works. Yeah, they're only nice to you because they want a tip.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, very
bizarre.
They're
not actually into you, buddy.
Yeah, I'll never forget that guy. That was
wow.
Definitely one of the head scratchers. So, basically, to conclude, yes, Mike, there are Hooters, and the people that go to them are religious to them.
Well, now I know.
So, FYI. You know what? I want to. Can we sell a T-shirt that says, like, I've stayed at this Hooters for 12 hours?
I mean, sure, we can.
The Hooters Camper Award.
That is just weird.
Yeah, he, like, bragged about it.
Been here since 12.
Yeah.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was very bizarre. So, I don't know. Maybe he goes home and he's proud of it. Maybe he has like a little log that like, ooh.
A little log. Today, I spent 7 hours at Hooters.
Yes.
Tomorrow, I'll spend 8 hours at Hooters.
My life, I've spent 10,000 hours of my life at Hooters.
Oh my God.
The worst part is he probably has.
Well, yeah. If he gets that upset about the table, it's probably something that he does all the time.
Yeah. Anyway, to go back to Baby Yoda and the Toy Yoda story. Jody Berry, she got an undisclosed sum of money with a settlement out of court. So, there you go.
Okay.
This is the world we live in.
This is the world we live in.
Okay, how about we get to some... other, some more traditional Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, what do you got?
Let's do. Oh, this is. Of course, this would happen in Florida. Absolutely smart here. After pulling a car over for speeding late Saturday afternoon, Florida cops searched the vehicle of the car that they pulled over, and that is where they discovered a pouch. That on the front of it was labeled, quote, bag full of drugs.
Of course.
And in the bag, what do you think they found?
I don't know. Was it drugs?
They found cocaine, ecstasy, meth, fentanyl, and GHB.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
Perfect.
A lot of drugs.
Yeah.
It would have been better if you were like weapons.
Well, they didn't lie. It says bag full of drugs.
Yeah. So like... There's two lines of thinking here. One is like, I'm very organized. I need my drugs to go in the drugs bag. Or the other line of thinking is like, it's so obvious, no one will ever suspect.
Yep. According to Florida police, the 2020 Kia, wow, brand new car.
Wow.
It was being driven by 34-year-old Ian Simmons, and he had a passenger, 34-year-old Joshua Reinhart. The car was pulled over on Interstate 10. Police show that the narcotics and the drug paraphernalia was promptly put into the bag labeled bag full of drugs.
Oh, my God.
And it was seized by state troopers.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Simmons and Reinhart were each arrested on multiple felony charges and booked into the county jail where they are both being locked up in lieu of a $117,000 bond apiece.
Wow.
Yeah, they got...
Yikes.
This judge did not find this funny at all.
No.
Bam! Take that. $117,000 bond.
Damn. Not messing around.
Yeah. So, here's some more information about the bag, though.
Okay.
This is apparently something you can actually buy online.
Well, you know what I gotta do now.
Yep, go search it. It's simply called the bag full of drugs bag. It measures 12 and a half inches by 8.5 inches. It's available on sale for $22.99. And the description says that the pouch is perfect for travel, carrying tech gear and tablets, art supplies, and cosmetics. And that there's nothing more fun than walking around town with your ironic bag full of drugs. So there you go. If you want a
There's a lot of bags that say bag full of drugs.
There you go. If you want your own piece of the odd news, you can buy it online right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It would be a thing.
Yes. Thank you, Florida, for making this a thing.
There are so many bags for drugs. Why?
Everyone's doing drugs.
Everyone's doing drugs. Everybody's self-medicating nowadays.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Bag full of drugs.
Yep. The old bag full of drugs.
I hate people.
That's what this episode has been. We just
hate people.
We hate various parts of society right now.
We're just so tired.
Yeah.
Why people?
Well, I hate to say it, but I have another drug story that I need to get to.
Of course.
Wonderful Florida. They're ringing it up right now.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And this one is bold to imagine, but it is official. The Clay County Sheriff's Office in Florida said that a Jacksonville first grade teacher was arrested in an attempt to buy meth while she was supposed to be teaching at school. When I wake up in the morning and the lawn gets out of water, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. Yes. While at school.
Trying to buy some drugs.
This sounds like a really bad episode of like a 90s sitcom where they're trying to tell you not to do drugs.
Oh, man. And it would be so ham-fisted. It's like, that's not the way to escape from your problems.
Yeah. It's not right thing to do, man. It's not radical.
No, it's definitely not radical.
Bringing it back. Radical.
That's right. Bringing it back. You know, I've been watching Boy Meets World recently, and this is absolutely how they would approach this topic.
Yeah.
They'd be like, I would never do it, and I'm so disappointed that you would try to do it.
Clay County Sheriff's Office said that Valerie Lee Prince contacted an undercover narcotics officer and actually tried to set up a deal to buy an 8-ball of meth while she was working at the school.
What?
Not even a little drug deal, an 8-ball.
Did she think, like, so, what, like, during recess, they're out in the schoolyard, and this shady guy just walks up and, like, here's your drugs. Like, how was the deal going to go down? Was she going to leave her first graders and meet this person somewhere?
I'll have one drug, please.
Oh, one drug, please. One drug coming up. How was the handoff going to be made? Well, like, was this for after school? Was she going to try and get it while she was in school, or...
I think it's in school.
Oh,
Prince talked to undercover officers in an attempt to set up the deal. She requested that the meth was going to be delivered to her while she was at the school.
But how?
They have a part of the transcript of the call.
Oh, goody.
So this is Prince thinking that she's talking to a drug dealer, but it's really an undercover cop here. She says, quote, I could go out and meet you, but I can't. I would just have to go out and run back in. Just call me when you're around, because, you know, I work at the school. You call me and I can just say I have to use the phone real quick. I can step out and come right back in. If you come visit me around 11, that could be my lunch break.
So, yeah, she was going to go get drugs during her lunch break.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, what else are you going to do on your lunch break? Eat?
Yeah. Oh, silly me.
Yeah. What?
Do the thing that it's labeled for. Jesus. Run out and buy some drugs real quick at lunch.
Yep. It
gives a whole new meaning to when people say they're running errands during lunch.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So instead, to protect the safety of the children, they forced the meeting to be after school. That's when Prince met with the undercover narcotics officer and tried to sell and sold her 3.5 grams of methamphetamine. After the sale, they promptly arrested her. That's when she admitted that she used meth 10 times within the last 6 months. Her credentials were immediately revoked and she was fired, according to the county sheriff's office. And Prince was charged with possession of meth. The excuse was she had an emergency phone call. Apparently, kids corroborated that she would leave the classroom for emergency phone calls.
Oh. So this has happened plenty of times before.
Great.
Wow. That's
taken
the American education system
taken
network.
Down by your own first graders.
Oh, man. These kids are ruthless.
Oh, well, that's what you get for trying to buy meth while working.
While teaching.
That's a new low, man.
That it really is. If you can't hold it together until like 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you don't even have to wait till 5. Yeah, wait till 3.
Exactly.
You got a free 2 hours.
Jesus. I know people, you know, sort of get tired in the afternoon, you know, they start wearing down. But if you're going straight to drugs, you can't make it to 3 p.m. You're going straight to drugs. That's bad.
That's very unfair if she has a different class in the morning than she does in the afternoon, though, too, by the way. Like, in the morning, she's, like, all groggy. Welcome, kids. We're going to learn about... And then she takes the meth, and then in the afternoon, hey, kids, we're going to learn about...
The kids are like, we finished 4 chapters in one period.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
Did you have Mrs...
It's first grade, so they're still doing the alphabet. She's like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I forgot this is first grade. Yeah. So in the morning, she's like, A, B, C, D. And then in the afternoon, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Class is over in like 30 seconds.
I really love my ABCs. Oh, no.
She's just like, she's writing on the board so fast.
Oh my God. She's writing so fast. She goes
so fast and fierce. She's like wearing down entire sticks of chalk.
She's actually writing like and like going over to the wall. Like she's actually going from blackboard to the wall.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
She's slamming Gold Star stickers so hard on kids, she's knocking them out of chairs.
Here's some Gold Star, Billy. You did really good today. Oh, my God.
Bam, bam, bam. The kids bring her apples. She eats it in one bite.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, hey, that's what you get for trying to buy and do drugs in the middle of your day with...
Jesus.
With your classroom. God.
That's a new low.
Yeah.
Although I do like the increase in efficiency in the classroom. I mean, why spend 40 minutes to an hour going over the alphabet when you can do it in 30 seconds? Right? I think that the police handled this the completely wrong way. They should have taken this to the Department of Education and been like, look.
Wait, this might be a good idea.
It's a little controversial, but we have an idea. One word. Meth.
Everybody.
And they're just like, get out.
Everybody gets meth.
Everybody gets meth.
It will improve efficiency.
Oh, my God.
So, she's in jail right now. Whew. Oh, my God. I didn't expect that to go that way. But, yeah, maybe. You know, just increase that efficiency.
That's right. It's all about, it's all about process improvements, Rich. Okay.
All right, next Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Okay, I usually, you know, rule of thumb, I usually don't like to cover murders. It's one of those things. It usually kind of brings the mood down and everything like that. But everything in this story is just so dumb, and I can't believe this actually happened, so I have to mention this story from Florida.
Okay.
A Florida man who killed another man who thought he had placed a voodoo curse on him actually texted the victim that he was going to die that day, according to police. I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite. Yeah, some voodoo for you. 19-year-old Najee Marcellos Jackson was arrested on a premeditated murder charge in the Wednesday morning shooting. So here's the first thing that's... So,
So the shooter thought that he had a voodoo curse on him.
Yeah, from the victim.
And text the victim?
Yeah, so here's the first thing that's messed up here, all right? First off, he actually texts him, and I actually have the text here, quote, you, it's not even spelled right, Y-U-H, you.
The hell? Y-U-H? No, stop. I know somebody died and it's very sad.
There's so many things wrong with this story. So yeah,
there's so many ways to spell you.
He spelled it Y-U-H.
And that is the absolute worst way to do it. Just a simple letter U would have been more acceptable.
Yes.
Holy. Okay.
Yes.
That's not even you. That's you.
Yeah.
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 Okay. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You gonna dead today.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
That's what the text read.
You gonna dead today?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Sorry. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but this is just... I can't.
Yes.
You gonna dead?
You gonna dead today.
Okay. You gonna dead today.
Yeah.
I'm dead right now. I'm dead inside.
Everything is wrong with this story.
Yeah.
So he texted that first thing in the morning. He doesn't drive. He rides his bicycle.
Oh my God!
To the victim's house.
I hate everything about this story.
Wow! If you really want to be intimidating,
ride your bike.
Here's my bicycle.
It's like a child.
Ching ching.
Yeah. Bring bring.
Ready to go.
Oh my God.
Real gangster, yeah.
Yeah, on your bike. You got from Walmart.
When he arrived, he texted the victim, sliding to you. I guess, is that slang?
I think that's slang. Sliding? I'm going to look it up.
Sliding? I guess that means I'm here. Sliding to you?
All right, hold on. I found Urban Dictionary sliding.
Yeah, what does that mean? Sliding. No, I don't know.
To be under the influence of dextromethorphan. I can't pronounce words. Dextromethorphan. Is that right?
I don't know.
I can't read that one out loud.
Okay. Anyway.
Just like moving along.
Yeah, moving along. He texted sliding to you. I don't know what that. I guess that means I'm here. I don't know.
None of these definitions fit what he's saying, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hell this means.
Okay.
So. This is two texts, all right? Mike, if you woke up in the morning and someone texted you,
I'm getting the hell out of there.
I think you get the message, though. You're going to die today, and then sliding to you.
Oh, I found slide you, which means to slide someone means you'll hit them so hard that they'll be rendered unconscious or get knocked down.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. I never heard sliding to you.
Yeah, I've never heard that either.
Okay, so, but if you got those two texts, wouldn't you call 911 or think about, you know, getting some protection or be a little bit wary that day?
Well, did they know each other?
Well, I would have to imagine so, because he thinks the guy's putting voodoo on him.
Right, and I guess he does have his number.
Yeah.
Like, you're not texting that to a random person.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I guess my question is, how well did they know each other, and... did the victim think it was a joke, or just like, oh, it's like a miss, like texting the wrong number?
All right. Well, I don't know how you want to take this, but here you go. So after those,
I would like be a little bit more cautious, you know.
After those two text messages, the victim responded back, "quote I let's talk."
I mean, sure. I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
No. Uh-uh. If you got somebody telling you you're going to die today.
You're going to dead today.
Well, I mean, maybe that's why. Maybe he's like, this guy can't speak English. He's not going to kill me.
Right. He's thinking he actually can't type. So maybe we need to talk so I can understand what he's saying. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Though.
I wouldn't want anything to do with that person, though.
Right. I think I would call police and barricade the door.
Yeah.
So, no, the victim responded, all right, let's talk. at that point, he walks outside.
Why?
Yeah.
Okay.
According to the report, a witness told police they then heard several gunshots, saw a man tuck an object into his waistband, and ride off on the bicycle.
Oh, my God. So stupid. Ding, ding. Yeah, right? He gets back. He hops on his bike like a kid and continues on his way.
Yeah. So that's the ridiculousness of the actual murder. When police caught up with him, they arrested him. They asked him why he committed the murder, and that's when Jackson said that he believed thoroughly that the victim had put a legit voodoo curse on him. Yeah. So I had to go this route.
It doesn't make any sense, though, because if he did have a voodoo curse on the person, he wouldn't even let him get that close to him.
Yeah, right? If I'm actually doing voodoo, can't I just stab you in the with the doll or something, make
right.
you go away?
Right, like, don't you control the person? So, like, yeah, why would he let you ride all the way to his house? Especially since you already text him. Like, yeah. If you really thought he was doing voodoo and you text him, the first thing I would do if I were doing voodoo is I would, like break the doll's neck or something.
Yeah.
You know, or, like, throw it out the window or, like, not let him come close to me.
No, instead I'm going to talk to him.
Right. That was only after the second text message, though, right?
Yeah, after sliding to you.
Yeah, sliding to you.
So what is it? What's sliding again? It means I'm... What?
So I found a couple different definitions. The one that I think it is meaning it's going to hit you so hard that it renders you unconscious.
Okay, wow. I did not know that. There you go. We learned a little bit of slang.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like we should use that because I feel like we're probably using it wrong.
Yeah, probably. But watch out. Watch out for the voodoo. Oh, yeah. I love that song, by the way. If there's one good thing that came out of this story, I got to play the voodoo song.
There you go. It's the simple things.
Thank you, Godsmack. Okay. Ooh, we're running out of time already. I need to... Okay. Ooh, I'm going to have to... Ooh, I'm going to have to sacrifice one of my stories. Oh, no!
One more. What do you got?
Oh, no! What am I going to do, Mike?
I know you love them all so much.
Yeah, what do I do?
I don't know. It's up to you. You're the only one that knows the stories.
Ah! All right, I'll do this one because there's so many questions that we could ask in this Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A Florida man that was dressed up in an Easter Bunny costume was arrested last Thursday after he attempted to evade deputies following a hit-and-run crash in Seminole County. Yeah, get that Easter Bunny.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
What? Was that English? So an Easter Bunny hit-and-run.
Yes.
In Florida.
And ran away from cops.
In February.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Because you said that sentence, I was like, I understand the individual words.
But together. I do not understand.
That sentence should not exist. So a person dressed as an Easter Bunny in Florida in February hit somebody and then proceeded to try to run from police.
Yeah.
Okay.
A trooper.
Why?
A trooper was dispatched to a traffic crash that involved a motorcycle. Investigators said that the driver failed to stop at a stop sign and collided with a car. Troopers said that the motorcycle struck a chain link fence and flipped over. The motorcycle driver was seen limping across the yard. That's when a sheriff's deputy and a trooper said they went to the driver's address and saw a gray Nissan Rogue exit the drive. Wait, is it Rogue?
Rogue.
Yeah, why is it Rouge?
Rouge.
Yeah, why is
That's
it
red.
U? Yeah.
Rogue. That's how you spell Rogue, with a U.
But is it R-O... Isn't it R-O-G-U-E?
Oh, it's spelled R-O-U?
Yeah, this news story spelled it wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Rogue is R-O-G-U-E. This newspaper... newspaper. This news story has R-O-U-G-E.
R-O-U-G-E is Rouge, but that's red.
Right.
Yeah, so you're right.
Yeah, what the hell? Come on, news stories. Get that spelling right.
Wow, yeah, really?
Damn it, news stories. Making me sound like an idiot. Nissan Rouge. Yo, ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
We have Le Nissan.
Yeah, no. Le Nissan Rouge. Le Nissan Rouge. Nissan.
We got, I don't know. Ooh la la, we got a perfect car.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, what they wrote meant either it's a noun, a red powder or cream used as a cosmetic.
They spelled it that's R-O-U-G-E. Rouge, yeah.
Or as a verb, color with rouge.
I'm very disappointed in this news source.
Yeah.
Anyway, saw the gray Nissan Rogue exit the driveway. Troopers said they conducted a traffic stop on the vehicle and found that the motorcycle driver was just lying in the back seat of the car wearing an Easter Bunny costume.
So, this is the motorcycle rider, right?
Yes.
Please tell me he was wearing the Easter Bunny costume while riding the motorcycle.
I think so, because where else would he have
so
randomly
he crashed
put
and
on...
then he just hops back home?
Yeah. Hopping away.
Or does he go home? He's just been in this horrific accident. He's like, I just got to get my Easter Bunny outfit on. It'll make me feel better. Why?
My magical Easter Bunny
outfit. Why? What? He's like, I got to get out of these clothes. But the only thing he had was an Easter Bunny outfit. When you say Easter Bunny.
Yes.
Do you mean like the kind at the malls where it's like a big puffy white suit with like the polka dotted bow tie and like the big eyes? Or are we talking about like Christmas Story?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking Christmas Story when he has the little pink outfit. He looks like a deranged Easter Bunny.
Yeah. I really want to know what version it is, whether it's the mall Easter Bunny kind or whether it's like the single piece, what are they called?
The
pink pajamas. The what?
The pink nightmare.
The pink nightmare, yeah.
So the man was alive and taken out of the car with some assistance. They sent him to a hospital due to the injuries that he suffered in the crash. Troopers identified the man as Antoine Tyke McDonald.
Okay.
What a name. They said that he was attempting to evade arrest with the assistance of the driver of the Nissan Rogue. After he was cleared from the hospital, he was then transported to the Seminole County Jail. But what makes this truly odd news is that apparently this is not his first crime with the bunny suit.
What?
Apparently there is footage of McDonald wearing the same Easter Bunny costume in which he got in a fight in downtown Orlando last April.
Oh my God.
This bunny suit just brings out the criminal in him.
So, I'm having a really hard time understanding this. So does he put on the outfit when he wants to do crime?
I think so.
Or is it just a coincidence and he just happens to wear this Easter Bunny outfit a lot?
It may be a coincidence, but I would like to
think... That is really, really difficult to believe it's a coincidence.
But I would
that
like...
That he just happens to be wearing an Easter Bunny outfit twice.
Yeah, it may be a coincidence, but I would like to believe that he puts on the bunny outfit and goes, all right, I'm going to commit some crime
now. It's crime committing time.
Yeah, I'm the criminal bunny.
Right. The Easter Bunny and the criminal bunny.
Yeah.
Which means, was he wearing it while he was riding the motorcycle knowing he was going to hit somebody?
I think he was on his way to commit a crime.
Oh, he was... Oh, okay.
That's what I'm going to go with.
He was on his way. He's like, he's got the Easter Bunny outfit. He gets on his bike. He's like, all right, it's time to commit some crimes.
Yes.
I have to go to the crime location.
Oops.
Oops. And then he hit somebody. Yeah.
Yep.
He's like, well, that saves me a trip. And then he just hops back home.
Yeah. There you go. I committed a crime by running away from the scene of the crime.
Yeah. There you go. Well, and also hitting somebody.
There you go. Whoops. Forgot about
that. Yeah. You forgot about that one. It's like, no, it's totally fine to crash into somebody.
So that's three. Yeah. So he actually got three then.
Yeah.
Good job. Criminal Bunny.
Criminal Bunny.
Here comes Criminal Bunny. He's going to commit the crimes.
Oh, my God. That was the most lackluster, the simultaneously most lackluster and brilliant theme song ever. Here comes the Criminal Bunny. He's going to commit some crimes. It's just so on the nose. He's a bunny and he does crime. It's the Criminal Bunny.
All right, I got to work on the lyrics, all right?
Just a touch. But the performance, though, was spot on, Rich. It was spot on.
You gave me, like, the best look ever. Like, you were just, like, You were horrified and disappointed all in one, like, look.
But it was good. It was brilliant, though.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So, there you go. That's the theme song. Because I don't know what else to say about this guy.
I don't know. I'm just still so confused. This whole story shouldn't exist, as most things in the Odd News.
As most things with Florida.
Yes. Florida should not exist.
That's really the lesson here.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right. And there you go. That'll wrap it up. That is what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Before we officially wrap it up, let's go over all that we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I just learned that Florida should not exist, apparently. It is an unholy, odd news, spawning, weird, terrifying place.
All my odd news stories from Florida this week.
But as long as it does exist, we know that we'll be able to turn to the criminal bunny for all of our, I don't even know what to call them, Easter crime needs.
Yeah, if you need to commit a crime in April.
Yeah. But just remember the amazing theme song that Rich came up with, the Criminal Bunny theme song. It's simultaneously the worst and best theme song I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yep. He's going to do some crimes.
He's good. There you go.
Perfect.
Perfect. Oh, man. I also learned that apparently a man was murdered, but all I cared about was the texting grammar.
And it was weird.
It was weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to dead today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the worst way to spell you ever.
Yeah.
But maybe that's because they weren't paying attention enough in school, which is why I have a bold new proposal for the Department of Education, meth.
Yes.
It's the latest educational tool, useful for increasing classroom efficiency. It keeps teachers awake and you know, ready to teach.
Think of how much stuff you're going to teach on meth.
That's exactly. It's a bold program. We got to pilot it, but I think it has a good shot of working.
Yes.
And finally, I learned the theme of the episode is that we hate people.
Yeah.
You're just like, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that feeling in some of the stories that we talked about today. So,
you know, as we do this show, every year we lose more and more faith in humanity until there's nothing left.
Yeah, or until we find another odd news story that lights up our hearts.
Yes.
So,
lights up our hearts.
Yeah. We'll have one in the future, I believe.
Oh, I'm sure.
I believe. And that's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man, there you go. That'll start to wrap it up for us. Thank you guys for listening to this crazy podcast that we call The Crispy Noodle. If you somehow liked what you heard, make sure that you are following us on social media, that you like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. You follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you find interviews, videos, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. We're everywhere. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where you have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick promo clip you can easily listen to with friends and family. The craziness that is The Crispy Noodle Podcast. We got a new one up. If you missed last week's, there's a special one involving Mike's favorite artist, Cher.
Ah, of course, the amazing Cher. So many ways to share and get in touch with. Oh! I'm done. I'm retiring.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. I don't even want to continue. I just want to bask in that glory.
There's
so many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you
very nice, very nice.
If you want to get in touch with us individually to tell me how bad my jokes are, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. Make fun of Mike for his really bad puns.
Please do.
And let us know Any topics that you want us to talk about on future episodes of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, any odd news stories that you might find, send them my way. And if they're real, we'll report on them. If not, I'll let you know what the deal is. Because a lot of people sent that Toyota story, so right. I felt like it was my duty to clear the air up.
That's right. See, you're a journalist.
I am.
You're a journalist.
I am.
We have journalistic integrity here.
I'm an odd news journalist.
That's right.
Very important. But for right now, we need to wrap it up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
I'm Barbara Waters, and this has been the Crispy Noodle 2020.